Welcome to the Ordinary Church Podcast, a podcast about the church and for the church. I'm Mike Shera. I'm here with Connor Haas. And Connor, I've got a question for you. We just started rolling. Here it is. What's on your mind today?
What's on my mind today? Man, I got a lot on my mind. Like always, I played soccer this morning.
You did?
So that was on my mind.
Did you win?
Yeah, we won.
Way to go.
It was a pickup game. It was
fun. How many people against how many people?
It was a big game today. It was 11s.
11s?
Yeah.
So where'd you play? Field. Harvard?
Bill Barber.
Bill
Barber.
When I said Harvard, I was
That's what you were thinking.
Bill Barber was actually in my brain. That's so funny.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Right there off of Harvard and Barranca or something like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's it. Yep.
Okay. So I played lots of soccer. I coached lots of soccer at Harvard Park over there at Walnut and Harvard.
Yeah. That's a silly answer. But as I was driving there this morning, I was thinking, it's a beautiful day and I get to play soccer in the middle of November. Yeah. And that's not something you could do in a lot of places, you know. Yeah. So
did the Lord guide you to do that? Did He lead you to do that today?
He allowed me to do it.
He allowed you to do it. I don't know. I was thinking about Isaiah 58:11, where it talks about the Lord will always guide you. Hmm. Can we just talk today about the Lord guiding us and how the Lord guides us?
Absolutely.
Would that be good?
That sounds great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Let me go ahead and start. Let me just open up my Bible to Isaiah 58 and verse 11. Okay. And here's what it says. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places. I'm guessing it wasn't scorching this morning on the pitch.
No.
Okay. Satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. What a beautiful little picture there, huh?
Yeah.
God's promising His people, you know, that they would take delight in Him, right? And I don't know, let's just, maybe let's delve into what does it mean for the Lord to guide us continually? What kind of thoughts are you having on that? Guided by God.
Being guided by God. Yeah, I mean, I feel like the first things coming to my mind are just the providence of God in guiding our lives. You know, you've taught me, Mike, over the years that I'm not supposed to be looking out for a voice from God whispering to me, you know, go this way, go that way. Mm-hmm. Not looking for new direction, you know, kind of directive guidance from God outside of His word. But the first place my mind goes is the providence of God. I think about this all the time. Why am I at Grace Church of Orange? Why am I married to the woman I'm married to? Why did I grow up in the family I did? Like so much of who I am is due to things that are entirely outside of my control or choice. You know, the people I've met, the people I've been influenced by, the places I've gone to school, the opportunities that I've had, this is all the providence of God. So that's where I would immediately, you know, kind of go in terms of the guidance of God and just His care for me. I mean, that verse talks about, that's a really good picture. He satisfies us in scorched places. So not even necessarily amazing circumstances, but God's guiding us to be satisfied in Him and actually have a lush life, you know, that's what it says, right? We become like a garden or something.
A garden in a scorched place. So it's in the desert. It's like
kind of incredible, actually, the picture.
Like Isaiah, when it talks about the transformation of the desert. Like,
right.
You're not going to have as much, Isaiah 40, I believe it is. Is
Ezekiel the one that talks to about the water flowing?
Oh,
and
man. What is it? It's Isaiah 55. A couple chapters back. It says this. It says, talking about the word of God and how the Lord is to be, He wants us to seek Him and His thoughts are higher than ours and the word won't return void. But then it says, verse 12, you will go out with joy, be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you will break forth into singing. All the trees of the field will clap their hands. And then it says in verse 13, instead of the thorn shall come up a cypress. Hmm. So instead of brown and dry and brittle, lush and growing.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. Hmm. And then it says, it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that will not be cut off, or a memorial to the Lord. Well, in the New American Standard, there is a footnote. And where it says it, there's like a little number. And you look down to the bottom and it says, it is the transformation of the desert. That's what he's describing. The transformation of a desert. So here, when you go up, then back up to Isaiah 58:11, he's going to satisfy your desire in scorched places and make you like a watered garden.
Yeah.
It's that same idea of transforming, you know, a desert into a lush garden. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is talking about how God will transform the life of the believer. And it's talking about eternal security in Christ. I like the idea, the flavoring of providence, how God will do this. I don't know.
Yeah,
that seems pretty sweet.
Super sweet, yeah. Yeah, I feel like my mind would also go to the Word of God directing our steps. You know, there's, you can go to different places in the Proverbs about that. And I that verse came to my mind immediately as you said guidance. Just, man, it's actually escaping me right now. But basically, you know, is it Proverbs 3 that says, in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll make your path straight?
Yes.
Just that idea of acknowledging God, you know, it's like in all your ways, like what does that mean? Well, whatever you're doing in life, just acknowledging God, you're kind of going before me in this. You've planned out my life, you know. I want to just put myself in a position to be pleasing to you, and he's going to make my path straight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to be able to get out my spreadsheets and scheme a perfect life for myself, you know.
So you haven't planned out 5 years in advance and stuff like that?
I mean, I haven't, but some people do.
And that's, either.
I haven't, you know. I don't think that's a verse that's against long-term, you know, thoughts for life or something.
Right,
but you know, but in general, it's like, man, I just, that kind of active dependence, active kind of yielding yourself to God, trying to prayerfully,
mm-hmm.
and then just, you know, trusting. He's okay. He's going to make my path straight. He is taking me where he wants me to go. As I'm just obeying his word, you know, the place where I'm not being guided by God is where I'm not listening to his word. So that's one sure way to be outside of his will. But otherwise, if I'm trying to obey his word, it's like, I'm trusting that he's going to providentially lead me.
Yeah.
And what about you? Other thoughts about the guidance of God?
It's making me think of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. There's a progress going, walking, but in the counsel of the wicked. Nor standing in the way of sinners, nor sitting in the seat of scoffers. His delight is in the law of the Lord, in the law of Yahweh, the word of God, and on his law he meditates day and night. What is he like? Going back to the same theme, a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, its leaf does not wither, and all he does, so there's a direction, he prospers. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff that the wind drives away. The wicked won't stand in the judgment. The sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. This way, this idea of this progressing through life even. But the way of the wicked will perish. So God is sovereign. He knows, you know. I don't know. I get a picture of something. You know, this last May, 2024, my wife, Angela, and I, we've been married 33 years. We've never gone on a cruise before. We were never cruisers, you know. And I guess now we are. We went on a cruise in May. And we went to Turkey and Greece and Malta, Crete and Italy. Okay. And it was interesting because I had never wanted to go on a cruise for a couple of reasons. One was I get seasick and things like this. I'm like, I don't want to go, you know, and can be cooped up on a boat and stuff like that or a ship, whatever. But there was something about it that I was like, you know, we got to a certain place. I remember being in some pretty tight quarters when you land in the morning, a lot of times into these bays. And you kind of, everything slows down and it's really sweet. The water is really calm, but you're coming in and then they maneuver you up to the dock. And sometimes they have to do like a full, like 180, like kind of a turn, like turning this pretty good sized ship.
Yeah. With like tugs.
Well, little boats, the tugs, they meet you out there before you get into the actual like marina kind of area,
right.
Whatever it's called. And it's just interesting that the ship gets moved somewhat imperceptibly. You don't even realize it's happening, but you look out there on the horizon and you see your surroundings changing a bit. And I kind of think maybe that's a little bit how God sometimes guides and directs us. You don't even know you're moving.
Yeah.
And maybe it's when maybe it's even better where like the ship is out cruising in the open sea and you just take a little bit of a, you know, it turns one degree and then it heads off where you need to be going. You don't always know which way you're headed. You know, you're doing your responsibilities. You've got plans and all these kind of things. And you have a schedule. But the Lord guiding you to situations and people, and you don't even know how it's working out. But it's like, I couldn't have orchestrated this day.
No way.
Just one day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, one day, much less a lifetime.
Yeah.
Right. No, that's so true. Yeah, I mean, just back to what I was saying at the beginning. why do I know the people I know, you know, have been put in the places I've been. None of that's my choice. None of that's, I mean, I don't, it's not that it's not my choice. I chose to marry the girl I did, you know, but at the same time, why did I meet her and not someone, you know, all these things, like, this is the providence of God. It's his guidance. And that is far more important and far more shaping, you know, in someone's life than I made all these decisions. I took these paths. So let me ask a question. What do you think about, I mean, you know, it depends on the person, obviously, but in any given life, someone might run into, I don't know, 5, 6, 10, kind of like forks in the road for them, you know, where they're running into like a more major decision and they're just kind of at a standstill, you know, I don't know if I'm gonna, you know, I don't know, whatever it is. I don't know if I'm gonna move to Texas to take this, you know, transfer that my job is kind of offering to me. I don't know if I'm gonna, you know, marry this person or not. I don't know if I'm gonna, you know, whatever it is acknowledging that believers are not instructed in scripture to look for some kind of a voice from God, or maybe even a prompting of do this or do that, you know, acknowledging that, would you still think there's a time for, what does it look like to just kind of have a focused maybe period of prayer? Some people would say I was fasting during that time, you know, just trying to kind of get clarity when you have a major life decision in front of you. Any thoughts about that, even just from your experience or,
Sure. I think that at times it's kind of like, you know, let's go back to the cruise ship. Okay. Sometimes it's full steam ahead. Other times it's slowing down. Other times it's knowing you're going to get to a certain port. There was one port we were supposed to go to that they said the water was so rough, we couldn't get off. Okay. It could be dangerous with the dinghies. They had to use these transport dinghy things to get to shore. And they're like, we're not going to do that. So this, you know, 10-day cruise, one of the ports out of like 7 or whatever it was, just got canceled.
Couldn't go.
Spur of the moment. We're like, okay, we're on board all day, you know, on ship. And we kind of missed some things. It's like, you just deal with it, right? You don't sit there and cry the whole time. But what about when you're seeking guidance for like a major life occurrence, whether it's getting married or doing all those things? Here's what I would say, okay? Now let's use a skiing analogy or a snowboarding analogy. You know what moguls are, right? Right? Moguls?
Yeah.
Tell me what they are.
I don't know how to do them, but they're these little bumps in the snow you gotta navigate.
Bumpy bumps. Yeah, you need good knees for this. But riding the moguls, okay? And I guess I'd say, or running hurdles in track, where a hurdle comes up every, you know, 10 or 15 yards or whatever it is. By the way, I learned this from a guy, one of my seminary professors. I learned this idea. You take those things that, as they come in life, and you don't get to the major crisis of, oh no, what am I supposed to do? You just keep moving along and you ride the moguls as they come and you don't make certain things in life too big. Now, getting married is pretty big, or changing jobs or doing all those things. And yes, I would say that's when you slow down and you really seek the Lord in prayer even more than usual. Okay?
Yeah.
But you still have to, at the end of the day, come to a decision.
Right.
You still had to say, I'm going to marry Emma.
Right.
You had to say, no one said to you, Connor, you have to marry Emma.
Right. I feel like that an important piece is what you just said. You pray, but not expecting that God is going to somehow open the heavens and just like put a light on this right choice compared to this wrong choice. You're praying just basically saying, God, I really want to just honor you in this, you know, and I don't know what to do. Would you just help me to assess what's happening in my mind, in my heart, think about, you know, how you've made me and what opportunity seems to be best. But then at some point you choose, you know, and you trust that if you have two options in front of you where one is not right and one's not wrong, right? It's just two good options. You just pick one.
You just pick one.
You don't look back. You know, you just go, okay, here we go, Lord. And you just go, right?
Yeah. I just remembered who said that. It was Jim Conway.
Okay.
He wrote a book about a lot of people that, you know, the thing used to be called midlife crisis.
Yeah.
Okay. He said, you ride the moguls, you take the transitions of life normally, and you don't make too big of a deal about everything. Yeah. You kind of stay even keeled. You shouldn't be getting into a midlife crisis where you go, who am I?
That's good.
Okay. You just kind of know who you are before the Lord. And it doesn't mean, I think that sometimes someone will be like, I'm praying and fasting because I need an answer to this. Part of me goes, well, wait a minute, pray and fast all you want, but seriously, that's going to give you an answer? What is God going to give you some? Now, you could have better clarity where you kind of get all the distractions out of the way.
Yep.
So you have a clear-headed thinking. but you still have to make a decision.
You have to. I think that's a good way of saying it. You're wanting clarity, but it's clarity in your own mind to be able to make that decision.
Yeah,
rather than I'm just waiting for God to clearly show me what I'm supposed to do, because he didn't promise that he will lead you in that way. He wants us to use our minds to wisely make decisions. And right. Yeah.
And when it says the Lord will continually guide you, what are the means of guidance? The Spirit and the Word, the idea of following the Lord, obedience, dependence, trusting his providence, and not just throwing up your hands, but moving in a certain direction.
Right.
And don't move in a bad direction.
One maybe just thing to mention, we're bringing this in toward a close, but I'm just thinking, and I don't know who would need to hear this necessarily, but maybe for some, the providence of God could be this excuse for inactivity. Does that make sense, what I'm saying? Almost like maybe it would make someone unwilling to make a hard choice or to kind of put themselves in a hard position. Like, I'm going to actually choose to go and take my family and go do this, or I'm going to choose whatever it is, right?
Yes.
Almost like, I'm just going to wait until God, you know, kind of nudges me along. And sometimes he does, but there's also moments when you have the freedom to make a choice and go do something or take on a challenge. Does that make sense?
Kinda? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Here's one, and then we'll bring it in for a close.
But yeah.
I remember when you were really wanting to marry Emma. You were convinced she was the one.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, we were talking, and we would even, you'd say, what do I say to her dad? You know, and that.
Yeah, you gave me some good
her
guidance.
Dad is kind of nervous about having her get married at this moment in time. You know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it was like, I think I gave you some wise counsel. But I'm like, okay, slow it down a little bit, buddy.
Yeah, you did.
But trust what the parents are saying, okay, on both sides of the coin. And then, but when you get to the point where you're like, I really want to do this, then make your case and make your decision.
Yeah.
You know, and honor everybody and honor all the parents and stuff.
Yeah.
But at some point you stand up and say, I got a rock. I'm going to drop it. I got the ring. Right. We're going to do this. Right. And I have your blessing for that, you know?
Right.
So yeah, you gotta just go.
You got it. Yeah.
But I think that's part of the way you can say God led you through that, to that, right? But you were pretty excited about your decision. If you weren't, you wouldn't have done it.
That's right. Yeah.
And you made a good decision.
And the counsel is another piece too. That's how one of the ways that God guides us as well, right? Just picking somebody who's in your life to be able to say, what do you think about this?
Oh yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna bring us in for a close. Do you have anything else you want to say?
I do have one more thing.
Yeah, bring it on.
It turns out that I think our very next episode is our 300th episode. And people, I just want to tell you, it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a doozy. And it's going to be, I don't even want to tell you what it's going to be about, but I'm just going to say, you don't want to miss it.
That is serious. Okay. You know, I was going to say, this is so random and really contributes very little to everything we've talked about, but I couldn't get it out of my mind when you're talking about the cruise ships and the port and stuff. My great grandma's husband was one of the guys in Long Beach who goes out and brings the big ships in. Isn't that cool?
Dude,
like
I
he
love
would
that.
Like he'd go out and then he'd climb the rope ladder and he'd like take control of the ship. There's a good preaching analogy for
you
someday.
Your great grandma's.
Yeah. So my grandpa's. My
so
grandpa
your
who passed
great-grandpa?
Away.
Great grandpa?
Yeah. My great no, he was married to my her husband passed away.
Okay,
and then
so
he married
like,
her later. He's like
you.
My step great grandpa.
I got you. Yeah, right.
But he's like this like salty old, you know, kind of captain.
Seafaring
and he
captain.
Yeah, he would go and take control of the ship and there's some
what
great
was his
stories.
Name? Do you remember his name?
Cal. Yeah. So there you go.
Right.
Yeah. He also liked model cars. But listeners, that was probably in another minute of your life that you won't get back. And I'm sorry about that. We love you, though. We're thankful for you. We'll talk to you next time on what has been promised to be a doozy of a podcast episode. So we'll talk to you then. Have a great day.